You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Why do you want to hunt?
Because you all think that I can't. I saw a sign in the sky. I'm ready. Muy Nita. Something out there.
I'm coming with you.
You can't.
I'm trying to protect you.
Protect me from what?
It's time.
That's why we pray. Pray! That's why we pray. Pray! You got to pray just to make it today. There, we're announcing the name of the film within the first second of the podcast.
Absolutely.
No more of that. What are we talking about?
I don't know. Let's just talk, you know, amusingly for 5 to 7 minutes about bullshit that nobody cares about.
Hey, I represent that comment. And that's not fair.
Hello, welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Tonight we are looking at a film that is the newest entry into the Predator franchise, which is very exciting for me, being a stupidly large Predator fan. Yes, I have one standing right here.
See, those things that are just off screen really are there.
Oh, just whatever you put your hand on, Quinny.
What?
I don't know. I'm on a lot of
not
medication.
That kind of stream, dude.
Oh, okay, cool.
Like, we get banned if we do that.
Well, I mean, technically. We could do some ASMR sort of stuff.
Oh, do it, do it. Whisper in my pink shell like ears.
Ooh, sexy. Ooh.
That actually kind of worked, and that's weird.
It's there with you in the room, Quinny.
Turn around.
But we're not talking about that one, are we? We're talking about Prey. A Predator movie that's not a Predator movie. Or what I like to call the better Pocahontas.
Wow.
They're both Disney films.
At least the white people died in this one.
There was no white savior in this. There's no John Smith coming down the river, you know, during all the color of the wind bullshit. No, the color of the wind is blood.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm here for
dear.
It.
It's been a little while, although, hands up, okay, we've all seen the homework, or we all did the homework, right? Did we all do the homework?
Yes.
I've got to ask that question because I'm the one who doesn't do it after I assign it. So.
Nope.
Cool. Peter, have you seen Prey?
I have done the homework.
Did you watch it in the original Comanche dub or some sort of weird English sub?
Some kind of weird English sub was used by me. Yeah.
Excellent.
I actually do have a slight problem with the Comanche dub that we will talk
sure.
to in a little bit.
I mean, I love that this film gives us two options. It's kind of like reviewing Mad Max, either colorized or black and white. Yeah. Can be different films. But also, the really important question is, how many Predator films has everyone seen? Or additionally, Predator comics, Predator novels, or any Predator-related games or franchise opportunities presented in the past?
Three other Predator films.
Excellent.
Okay,
excellent.
So what are the Predator films you have watched, Jill? Just so I know where to pitch this.
The a la original.
Predator.
In Predator.
The unfortunate Alien versus Predator. Ooh. And the Predator. El Predato.
El Predato.
The one and only terrible cinema maker that I do not like, Shane Black.
He makes some
I
good
like
stuff.
Shane Black when he was in the original Predator.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. When he's getting murdered by Predators. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Don't make them. Just don't make them.
Good, 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 good. Peter?
I have seen one Predator film, including the Predator film that we are talking about. My understanding of this franchise is that there is a Predator.
Yes.
And occasionally an alien.
But do you know the shaking hands, bulging biceps meme?
No.
Oh, fuck.
What's the matter? They got you pushing too many pencils.
There's got to be. We'll have to arrange some other viewing of. Because I mean, all I hope for though, Pete, is that this film has encouraged you to learn about the wonderful breadth of Predator offerings that are out there. It's encouraging. Nope. No, okay, good.
I was hoping that this may have
like
been...
I'm one and done, to be honest.
So this hasn't opened up a whole new world of exploring the deep, meaningful Yautja culture that is... Yeah.
I would be lying if I didn't say I had some questions, but I don't think I care enough about getting those questions answered to watch other films.
Well, are the questions, but why?
Most of them are that, yes.
I don't have a gonk for Quinny. I have no shut up sound because...
you do. You've got the Predator roar, don't you? The moment that I start going down a fucking deep-ass rabbit hole.
Right.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, okay, cool. I can just use that one to just drag you back to the correct path. Right. Quinny, have you seen any Predator films?
No. No, this is my first time.
That's Predator.
I've certainly... never watched any other Predator films, haven't read any of the comic books, haven't read some of the books, haven't played most of the video games.
Not very well versed at all. No. I have the Blu-ray box set of To Catch a Predator, which I consider is most of all of the information I need to make a summary judgment on Predators in general.
Wow.
Oh, Casper just mentioned the AVP arcade machine.
Yeah.
Fuck, I love that. It was basically just the Simpsons arcade machine, except aliens and predators, and it was so fucking badass.
It's kind of cool. Reskinned.
Yep.
How much do you love Batman versus Predator?
Okay,
Dead End, the short film Dead End?
No, I'm talking about the comic, Batman versus Predator.
Oh, okay.
Andy Kubert.
Fucking love that.
Then they
did multiple sequels that were nowhere near as good.
No, it isn't. There's a wide breadth and variety of this, but all of them have kind of been a little bit shit since the first Predator came out in the 80s, the Schwarzenegger vehicle. As we all know, that there was originally Jean-Claude Van Damme was in the Predator suit. It looked completely different. It didn't work at all. And then they made a whole different Predator. Was it Stan Winston? It was Stan Winston's school.
And my favorite story about that is Stan Winston got on a plane, was trying to come up with a design for the Predator because the film had started shooting and it was bad.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, this film is going to fucking tank. We need to redesign this thing because this is fucked. And so he's on a plane and he's going, I don't know what to do. He's drawing some stuff and he's sitting next to Jim Cameron. And Jim Cameron just goes, I would have always wanted to see something with mandibles. And so he just added mandibles and suddenly Predator is
suddenly born. There we go. And the rest,
thank you, Jim Cameron.
Rest of it is history. Followed up by Predator. Like, Predator was a great kind of action movie, but it was Arnold Schwarzenegger is what people went and saw. And then they got a cool battle where Arnold Schwarzenegger gets his ass handed to him by... What is actually
a 7-foot alien killing machine?
Yeah. In fact, a whole bunch of muscle men got their asses handed to them, which I thought was quite that's a good little anti-trope.
What I love about that, and what I think everybody has forgotten, that because one thing we're gonna put our hands up to, there's been a lot of fucking angry men who have made many complaints about the fact that in this film a woman is able to defeat a predator and is in, it's all woke garbage, yada, yada, yada. The entire point of the first Predator is that big, muscly men get killed a lot by predators.
Yeah. The Predator. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, late 80s was the height of bodybuilding and all of those actors were roided up. Like,
oh, yeah.
Carl Weathers had a story where he used to sneak off away from the other actors at like 3 a.m. to go and work out so they'd be pumped up for shooting. Like, this is the level of machismo that was on that set. And then you have all of these guys with repressed homosexual urges complaining that the one about the woman was unrealistic. I don't want to make assumptions about the viewers.
I also love that people are making some wonderful comments of like, you're over here getting angry about a Comanche warrior taking out a predator, and yet you forgot that a person working in a diner took out the Terminator.
Yeah. Like a waitress takes out the Terminator. A ship navigator takes out Alien. Like, all of these things is just kind of like, oh, you didn't learn those lessons.
Yeah.
You didn't learn anything from those. Oh, you got a very superficial experience. That's okay. Go watch it again.
You know what the difference was between Linda Hamilton and Sigourney Weaver, though? They were sexualized.
Yeah. I mean, Linda Hamilton, yes. Sigourney Weaver, I think she's interesting.
Dude, did you see her in panties and a tank top with no bra? Like, you can't tell me that's not sexualized.
Though, once again, another story that I read about that yesterday. Apparently, she refused to do anything about her body hair or anything. Ridley Scott was like, hey, can you pull the pants up a bit or something? She's like, nah. And so they had to hire somebody to go through and airbrush out her pubes.
And it's a strange story. Why are we having those stories? It didn't even, like, it didn't matter. Like, on all these things. No. It's just like, yeah, I agree. Yeah, in some point, some of those characters were sexualized in that way or presented from the male gaze side. Prey, I think, is a very successful film because it presents a great story without basing some of that stuff in some of the tropes that we've had. Like, it's a smarter
story. But the
people
that are complaining about it are the ones that needs their egos stroked in regards to that.
I mean, my favourite thing is reading the one-star reviews on IMDb and the people, like, who are just so determined to, like, desperate to hate this film.
Oh, yeah.
And to tell us why they hate this film. And I'm not being sexist and I'm not being racist, but all of these other reasons. I'm like, guys, I have seen one-star films. Like, but I mean, you're taking the piss.
Were those same people standing there, you know, reviewing the first Tomb Raider film and going, I am unhappy with this depiction, exactly. Her boobs are not pointy enough. In the game, they are clearly extra sharp and could cut glass. But it's ridiculous. Anyway.
They're tiresome, fucking sad, sad little people.
Enough of the people on the internet. Don't listen to them, except us.
Hang on.
Let's talk about Prey.
Also asked the question, were people upset about Son of Lathan in Alien versus Predator?
Yes.
They were upset about a lot of other things in AVP.
Yeah, they're upset.
Oh, there are more things to be upset about in that movie.
I mean,
of all of the things to take away, she was not the problem with that film.
I mean, like, whenever a sequel or a reimagining of anything that is a beloved franchise comes out, there are always people who are going to complain about it. I mean, the only one that they didn't complain about was probably Terminator 2. Where they were like, oh, that was actually kind of better than the first Terminator. And then every other film since then has just been like, these Terminator films suck. Sorry, Pete, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, should we have a synopsis before we get too deep? And then I'm just wondering if maybe we can have like a Predator 101 for the uninitiated among us, because that might clear up some of my butt wires before I even start.
It's going to be very quick. Okay. It's a very basic premise.
Yes.
Short answers.
Okay, can we have some music for the thing?
Sure. I mean, I guess so.
I'm going to do this as Arnold Schwarzenegger, just so you
know. Oh, please.
And watch Dion go, for fuck's sake.
Give it to me, Quinnie.
A highly skilled Comanche warrior protects a tribe from a highly evolved alien predator that hunts humans for sport, fighting against the wilderness, dangerous colonists, and this mysterious creature to keep her people safe. It also kills a bear and a lion and a snake and a wolf. It just kills fucking everything. Now, use an axe, which I call a chopper.
Yes.
Is that it? Is that synopsis over?
Yes. Fucking amazing.
I didn't. They got you pushing too many pencils.
Again.
It's bullshit.
Again, you're losing Peter completely.
Sorry, Peter.
Because that doesn't make any sense in the contextualized world. We're making jokes from the Predator.
We'll explain it all.
All right. Okay. Before we get into Prey, which I think is quite great, and everyone else who doesn't agree can fuck right off. to Peter, what is your 101? Go rapid fire questions. We will answer as best we can.
Or do you want an explanation?
Okay. Let's start with the Predators are from another planet. They're not actually called Predators. They're called, what's the?
Yautja.
Right. So they come from another planet. They're all like military type people. They go hunting in space. They'll go to other planets and they'll hunt for like the apex predator that's there to be the best. They do it for sport.
And in some cases, they actually do it as a coming of age ritual as well.
That's the deeper cut, but
yeah.
the basic premise is they hunt for sport and they do it on other planets.
Yes, and they take trophies.
Yes. Side note, they also eat the skin of their victims, or human skin is actually something that they find delicious. and they, yes, take trophies, as Quinny said, usually skulls or spines and skulls of whatever that they manage to kill.
Yeah. And quite often, they will, if they've got a ship, they will mount them on those in their ship. They are very much trophy hunters. What else would you like to know?
I mean, that clears up the main questions.
Oh, because you were sort of sitting there going, but why is this alien on Earth doing these weird things?
Yeah.
But why do it do? No, that's cool, because now I'm seeing the parallel between the Predator and our main character's journey. So that actually is cooler now that I know those things.
Right.
I understand why it was hard to contextualize it in the film, I guess most people who aren't me have seen Predator and that's fine.
Probably. So the first film, 1987, set in the Guatemalan jungle, big group of muscly guys go to find some things and then all get killed by a predator. And Arnold Schwarzenegger has to go back to being almost savage to fight it. So they get rid of all of their technology to fight the predator.
Basically, like, the final fight scene is him covered in mud to like disguise his body temperature.
I've seen something about that.
Think of it this way, like, the predator, the Yautja species, is something that goes into the universe to find difficult things to hunt and hunts them with far superior technology, but it has rules. Like, and you find out those rules by its actions throughout the Predator franchise kind of thing, which is like, it usually never kills an unarmed opponent. If you stop being a threat to it, it generally sometimes leaves you alone.
Might kill you if you're pregnant.
Unless you are pregnant with Predalien babies, then it's defo gon' kill you, which is a whole different thing you don't want to get into.
Alien films, so let's just not go down that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Oh my fucking god!
It's not my genre, guys.
Have you seen Terminator?
Of course, I've seen Terminator.
Oh, okay, thank God. You're not completely lost.
Not savage.
Well, funnily enough, like, I've never seen a Predator have the skull trophy of a Terminator, so I don't know how that all ties in.
No, I'm just I'm talking about the peak of 80s action films. Like Alien, Predator, and Terminator.
Yeah. So when Prey was coming out or being announced that it was going to be made, everyone was kind of like a little bit on the side of like, how are they going to make that work? And because it was kind of like, oh yeah, it's going to be a Predator film set in
1700s.
Yeah, yeah, in the 1700s, it's like Predator versus American Indians. And people were like, well, that's never going to work. And then this film came out and I was like, oh, that totally works.
Is funny, because when I heard the concept, I'm like, that's a fucking cool idea.
Yeah. Like,
it's literally based off one of the comics.
I was going to say, there is a whole bunch of comics.
How did it not work, you guys?
Yeah.
Well, they were just worried. It's like, no, they they didn't have enough technology. They wouldn't be able to stop it. Like, all their weapons wouldn't have worked. And I was like, yeah, but, somehow they'll figure it out. And they did. And it was great.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. Because I've seen all the shit Predators.
So to continue on, Predator 2 set in a city. So,
oh my God, not just a city, the mean streets of LA.
Yeah.
Overrun by gangs.
In the near future of 1997.
Yeah. Yeah. In the 90s of 90 cities where, yeah, where temperatures were getting as high as 40 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's and, unbelievable
heat
wave.
Is
it's 40 degrees.
Still
like,
too old for this shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is a total trash fire, but I love it anyway.
Yeah, that was that's voodoo people and a whole bunch, yeah, of weird shit. But it did introduce some interesting things to the Predator narrative, which is sometimes there's more than one Predator.
Mm.
And sometimes there's a whole bunch of Predators watching one of them hunt. Like, and it's a little bit, yeah, it's a bit strange. Because I think, Peter, you would have watched this going, why is it camouflaged and invisible, and how does that work? Did that but why you, or you're just kind of like, oh, I'll go with it?
No, it 100% but why me, and like sometimes and sometimes not also, and like the moments that it wasn't, I was like, but why not now? Like,
because, so one of you go, Dave.
I was just gonna say, because it got water on it, and as we all know, water is the weakness.
Got water on it.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Water is the weakness.
Oh, it's a bit wet.
So in all of the films, they set up different things that kind of, you know, change the whole thing.
Yeah.
So in the first film, he lands in water and it kind of fucks up his cloaking thing. In the second one, you see a reflection and therefore the cloaking doesn't affect reflections. There's all these things that throughout the course of the many fucking films, they set up as being things that they can and can't do. Now, the fact that this is set 200 and something or 300 odd years before all the other ones, and the technology for the aliens is
the same,
not discernibly different, who cares? It's still cool.
Well, I mean, I guess in whatever alien society this is, maybe that's not like that big a jump in time compared to how human society went forward, whatever the words are. If you're already that advanced, maybe 200 years is like, no.
One thing that is kind of cool that ties this film into the other films, at the end of Predator 2, sorry, spoiler stuff, the lead character is thrown a gun. And that gun is the pistol that Amber Midthunder ends up with at the end of this. So this is kind of a bit of a thing to say, he's the first
connected
interaction.
Yeah.
Right. Because kind I of. Was like, have I missed something about why I should be paying attention to the writing on this pistol?
And I disliked that a lot. That was one of the parts.
Really?
That made me go, no, I thought, nah, fuck off. Don't do that. Don't be shit.
I had no problems with that at all.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay. So in terms of did it work for you? And anyone can jump in.
Boom. Oh, I really enjoyed it. Like, to be honest, I love the trashy 80s action film. And Predator, I thought, was fantastic in terms of, like, being trash. But this just was, like, a whole other thing. It was, like, it was a cool contemporary action movie about a character that I came to care very deeply about. And it included Predator, which I'm like, sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. She was a total fucking boss. Like, yeah, she was like trying to find her way and her own way of becoming a hunter. And there were a few moments where I'm like, girl, just fucking shoot it. Shit. I'm like, stop being a wimp, just do it. But by the end of it, I'm like, fuck yeah, girl, you did that. Now go and be the chief.
There's a lot of chat in the moment about that gun and the stuff. Gun. We will discuss it in the spoiler section later.
Sure, in spoilers.
Yes. I fucking loved it. Like, and just to put our hands up to it, we were also lucky enough to be some of the very few people in the world who actually saw it in a cinema. One of the things that's been said about this a lot is, why the fuck was this not put in cinemas?
Yeah.
It's been the biggest streaming movie ever on Hulu.
Wow.
It just decimated on in its opening weekend and weeks and everything. It's been huge.
And also, and I'm guaranteeing, it was fucking gorgeous on like on the cinema screen. It's the scope of it and some of that Americana like nature and the framing and the shot selections about how it worked. It was great. Like, I mean, I was watching this going, yay, this looks wonderful.
I had like this vague sort of Terrence Malick does Predator kind of thing going on at one point, and I'm like, that's not a thing I was expecting to say about this.
Yeah, true.
Really just didn't feel like a traditional Predator movie.
No.
But definitely doesn't feel like action trash.
Do you know why? It's because it had a plot and a decent narrative that didn't that you didn't actually really need a fucking Predator in there. The Predator made it cooler.
If the Predator wasn't in there, this could be classified as like an art movie. You know, well, if she was hunting some big game or something, you know.
That is my thing with it. I feel like I would have enjoyed this just as much, if not more, if the Predator was actually a bear. And that's what like I just kept thinking the entire time. I'm like, ugh, all of this alien invisible stuff doesn't need to be in this story.
No, the Revenant done better.
But like I would have been just as engaged with that character and that story arc without the Predator involved, which maybe says something about where, you know, something transcending a franchise.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the kind of thing that I was really enjoying about it. The thing that I loved most about Prey was it sets out, it creates the world, it gives us all these characters, it gives us motivation for almost every single character that appears on screen. And I was like, okay, I'm sold. Like, this is great. This is filmmaking. I'm enjoying this plot. I'm enjoying this. I'm not being sold stuff because I'm like, well, you're going to love this because it's Predator and we'll do a few Predator things. Like, sure, they threw in a few of the Predator nods.
The one-liners.
Yeah,
the
or one-liners, apart from it. But
there were so many very interesting, like, visual echoes of other films in the Predator franchise as well. Like, the bit where she gets stuck in the mud and pulls herself out and in amongst all of the logs and everything is, like, the shots are almost exactly the same as the ones from Predator. And I went... That's a very nice sort of visual echo, but also a really good bit of misdirection because anyone who knows the Predator franchise is going, oh, she's found the mud. She's worked out how she's going to get around the Predator. It's like, no. So I fucking love that. Thing that I really dug about it was them being clever about the way they're exploring the theme. So... And I didn't expect to talk about themes in a Predator film.
Ooh.
But the film is called Prey for a really good reason. It's all about who is the prey in every situation.
Yeah.
So early on, you see the ant that crawls up the Predator and then the rat eats it and then the snake eats it and then the snake gets killed. And you're like...
Yeah, cool sequence.
Yeah, fucking cool sequence and really telling a story about who thinks they are the top of the food chain.
Yeah, but every encounter where you see the Predator, the same thing happens.
Yes. Yeah.
Which wore down a little bit. Like, I get the metaphor, but they did it three times.
Yes. Yes, true. But by the time you get to the bear, you're like, oh, it's a fucking bear.
The bear was sick.
Bear was really cool. Sick.
Like, and... You know, like this was the thing. I was very involved with the story of a girl and her dog trying to find her place in the world and slash the tribe and having her life and dealing with all of the things that come up, like, you know, future and traitors and white people and all that kind of things. Meanwhile, there's a Predator, you know, and she's the only one who can deal with it in the sense that she's like, I'm telling everyone there's a Predator and we should do something about it. And everyone's like, nah, you don't need to.
You know, like, especially Rufio.
Especially Rufio?
Yeah. Oh, I made that visual connection and then I was like, oh, no, was Hook appropriative? I think Hook might have been appropriative.
It may be. If Rufio was one of the Lost Boys and there were the Indian tribes on the island of Neverland, then maybe he was one of the Indians who had become... one of the Lost Boys.
Perhaps.
sure.
Says me trying to explain away a fucking 1990 film.
But I'm pretty sure he got killed by a predator. He's like, oh, he became a lost boy. I was like, okay, in Fantasyland, he was gutted by a predator. Like, it's fine. Just let it go, Quinny.
No, I'm really excited now to see the predators show up to Neverland and try and take out Peter Pan.
Cool. No, where are we now? We're talking about a Predator movie, and you're like, no, Predator in Peter Pan land. And I'm like, never.
Hey,
like,
look, the Predator, what? There is a comic book of the Predator versus Archie. So, you
sure,
know.
But I don't. Can we just stop talking about Predators at Neverland? Because that ends up in a very different conversation. All
oh,
right.
Dear.
Okay, so what did everyone think about the overall Native American influence to this film and the entire cast being Native American and being treated sympathetically and having a great time? And I fucking love them all. They're all great.
Yeah, I love Amber Midthunder. I loved her in Legion. She was like one of the best characters in that show. So I was like super psyched to see her in this movie.
She's also kind of great in Roswell, New Mexico, which I know is like not quite on the level of Prey and Legion.
I need to keep watching that, Peter.
It is a fun it's a fun reboot of a 90s property, and I think worth watching. She's great.
I think she's great. I love her name. I think Midthunder is one of the coolest fucking last names ever. but also fucking love Dakota Beavers as Tarby. Mm. The brother.
Oh, Tarby was cool. I really liked him.
Like, I love that he is, you know, he's a dick when he needs to be a dick. When the story requires him to be a dick.
Yeah, but he cares about his sister and, like, does want her to, you know, do what she wants to do kind of thing and supports her in a different way.
Yes. Yeah, and I did love that bit where they're tied up at one point and she says something about, look, I'm smarter than beavers. Literally, yeah. I'm smarter than you.
Also confirmed by the writer to be that Tabe was the past life of Billy from the original Predator, and that was the link between the two Native Americans in those films. Yeah, the writer was like, oh yeah, definitely, like, you know, that whole thing with, you know, the knife across the chest was just him remembering his past life as Tabe, the warrior who fought the Predator. It was interesting. It's a little aside. Also, it's probably something that the writer, like, someone asked that writer at some place, like, oh, is that linked? He's like, sure. Yeah, that sounds good. Let's link that.
That's fucking cool. I mean, the cut across the chest is actually a really, ooh, okay, cool. Thank you. I hadn't read that, and that's fucking cool.
Yeah, but, like, everyone in this was great, and the Predator was great.
Claps to Predator.
Have you seen any of the behind-the-scenes stuff of the actual on-set creature?
Yes. I have seen so many memes, and I love it. It's like, it's gone is sad Keanu, and now is sad Predator. Because usually he's just sitting in full makeup on, like, a log going, it's really hot in this.
I was talking about that, but also the makeup stuff that they did. So whilst the Predator face, when the mask came off, was enhanced by CGI and stuff, they actually built a full prosthetic mask with the mandibles and everything. Yep. And it's fucking cool.
Working jaw and mandibles and the whole thing that was working. Yeah,
so good.
And they
makes a difference from the first one where the guy couldn't even see out of the helmet.
I love that guy. Well, at least I love it. It's just...
At least it wasn't the original costume for that Predator. Have you ever seen, like, pictures of that? Because, I mean, the original one that Jean-Claude Van Damme was wearing at the time, it is bright orange, and the shape of it, it's got, like, a long nose head thing, and it's just a bipedal, and it's really dumb. And he doesn't have any weapons. It's just it was very stupid.
Just shit.
Anyway.
I love the tribe, and I like the way that they're... Actually, there's one shot in there that really fucking caught me, and I just went, oh, wow. And it was such a simple one where the rest of the women are going out to go hunting and gathering and stuff like that of a morning. And as a aerial shot above it where they're all walking in one direction and she's walking in the other direction. Mm. And I just went, oh, fuck yeah. I love that confidence in visual storytelling.
Mm.
and going, okay, we don't need a lot of dialogue. I've watched both versions, the English and the Comanche, and I think the Comanche, it was filmed in English, so yeah. the lip flaps don't match and stuff like that, but it's still really kind of cool to do it. But the problem I do have with it is the subtitles, or the closed captions or whatever, they're captions, not subtitles. So there is no version to see it without stage directions as well.
Right,
of
okay,
wind yeah. blows, predator oh. crackles oh, right. in the background.
Okay.
There's no version of it that doesn't have those included, which is a little frustrating.
Sure.
But, I mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like mild things, small things. Mm. But still, a great night out, and good for anyone who just wanted a little bit more to their Predator films. Like a feast for both the visual and story narrative senses. I had a nice. Well, okay, but obviously, like, I feel like I'm sitting here going, I'm painting myself exactly how I know this is going to end, and we're running out of a little bit of time, I would say. So what did you hate about it before we get to reviews and then a clip and then back for spoilery things? And did everyone in the chat like it? I turn this way like there's someone in the chat just right there. You're all there. You're all just here.
Just I like that you're also side. Facing the wrong way.
Yeah, yeah. I should go that way. Like, you're all there.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
there
you go. But then you get this giant, like, thing in my face. And I'm like, No, nothing. No one had any problems with it at all. Excellent. Flawless victory.
I think there was anything I hated about it. It wasn't my favorite movie, but I enjoyed it.
I'm struggling to think of something I didn't enjoy.
Because as somebody who is had not been initiated to the Predator franchise, mm-hmm. There was just that kind of tinge of but why throughout, not really kind of knowing
why
this thing.
Just an unfortunate byproduct.
It's an unfortunate byproduct. I think that I always love with these things, you know, when you're looking at a franchise and a new movie has come out in the franchise, and particularly a new movie that that has such amazing representation and grounds itself in culture and history, that, you know, maybe we're bringing a little bit of a new audience to the franchise. So it's kind of a bit of a shame that I just felt a little bit lost just in the Predator bits. The rest of the plot was fine, but I guess it being a Predator movie, that's probably a bit of a problem.
There's only, honestly, one of the things I think with this would have been like, people are like, oh, you know the Predator, right? Yeah, yeah, we're going to do it over here. And everyone's like, oh, really? Okay. I guess, like, there might be a small barrier to entry, but, like, that's what I think I liked about it too, is that it was a good movie with Predator. And we've had so many before promise us a good movie with Predator.
Wow.
And they haven't delivered since the original Predator one, which was just kind of like, it's an action movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and some Predator. Oh, wow, they all really like the Predator. Okay, well, we better make a sequel and keep going. And yeah, this is the other way around. It's like, it's a good movie. It's also got the Predator in it.
You know? I've always been a little intrigued by it because the idea, many years ago, I had the idea of what if you made a film that wasn't advertised as being a Predator film or an alien film or something like that, and that you started watching it, it had a different name, was, you know, nothing even remotely linked to it. You start watching it and then halfway through it suddenly turns into one of these films.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about this movie, is that the concept originally was this movie without Predator until someone said, hey, let's make it a Predator movie, and they put Predator into it.
That's why it feels like this. That's why I'm like, I would have enjoyed it, but this is a really big band.
Yeah. Its original screenplay name was Skulls. And it was about the same storyline. And then someone's come along and said to Dan Trachtenberg, hey, let's make a movie. But he's like, I've got this thing. Let's put Predator in it.
And damn right, I'm still having a good time. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm fucking glad they did.
Naysayers be gone, and I don't agree.
I do want to shout out to Sarah Shancher. Mm. Scancher? I'm not sure. Who is the composer of it. Stunning music. Like, there, I kind of, a few people commented on it, and I thought, oh, I'll go and have a listen to the actual score. And it's really subtle, beautiful, you know, lots of sweeping vistery stuff, but it does some really smart and clever things with some of the old Predator themes. Mm. That music that you had going before, Dion.
Yeah.
The Predator music.
Yeah. I can put it back on again.
Yeah, there you go. So there's a da-da-da-da-da-dun, da-da-dun, which is sort of the main Predator theme. I love that she does that, but she slows it down and plays it on a cello.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, that's nice. It Ooh. Just makes it a little classier.
Classy.
You were getting the right kind of nerdy with this, Quinny.
Predator, but make it classy.
Yeah. And oh, that's God. Kind of what it felt like. It was a bit like Predator, but make it classy. Like, you know, the...
Yeah, it's like Predator.
They're also
make it
trying
cool.
to say something about colonialism. They're trying to say something about like, you know, people assuming that they have the right to be places that they don't. Now, the sequence where they're looking at the skinned buffalo, and
which I gotta say was kind of taken from another movie, but I'll let it go.
I would say it's also taken from history.
Yeah, but
no, bring Dances with Wolves into this. I'm ready for it. That's where
yeah, I mean, when I saw the first dead buffalo, I'm like, oh shit, here we go.
Oh, shit,
I'm like, it's the colonists.
Yeah, da 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 da, and then they all get killed. Yay! Well, it was kind of that thing. I was watching this one, going, oh, how are they going to increase the body count? Because, like, technically speaking, I'm going to be a little bit sad if all the like villagers get killed. And then I was like, yay, colonists!
There's some people that deserve it.
Yeah, what's more, they're French.
Yeah. And Spanish and Italian.
Hello yes. to all of our European watchers.
Yes.
No, I enjoyed them because they were also painted as being assholes. Like, you know, they were given the clear indication that they were poachers or they're hunters, they were cruel. Mm. So you're kind of like, good, you deserve to die.
I've never known cruelty to be in American history.
Yes. And that's right. Actually, Chastangelo makes a good point that the French wasn't subtitled.
No, and it's good because it treated the audience like they were smart and they could figure
they
stuff
were
out
captioned
by context.
In French, though.
They were, and they still didn't make a huge amount of sense.
This is the thing. You didn't need it because it had strong filmmaking and you could understand through context and action what was going on, and you didn't need to be force-fed dialogue. The exposition in this was on the screen and not in the script. That's strong filmmaking. You agree? Okay.
Yes, no, I agree. Numbers. Sorry, I was just reading Rob's thing about the scene with the skinned buffaloes was actually incorrect. That
historically inaccurate.
Yes.
It was mainly beaver pelt. Anyway.
Do you know what else was historically inaccurate?
What?
The invisible Predator. Alien hunter thing.
Hey, they've been around for a long
Not
time.
Not in this universe.
Yes. what we haven't discussed is why this Predator didn't...
He's telling us to hurry up.
What we didn't discuss is why the Predator didn't go to Antarctica and find the Egyptian pyramid under Antarctica.
Yeah, why
didn't
they
do that in
there?
This film?
It wasn't an Egyptian pyramid. It was actually a Mayan temple. Anyway, fuck this shit. Please give me... What, yes? Sorry,
85.
Peter? 85. Thank you, Peter. Peter's going 85. Quinny? No?
I'm going to go 93. I fucking loved it.
Great.
Like, was so fucking happy. Haven't watched a Predator movie that made me this happy in a very, very long time.
Couldn't,
and also want more, please. Thank you. Okay.
Couldn't tell. You only gave it 95. No, 93. Jill?
87.
87.
Because if you took the Predator stuff out, it would go up.
Same with me.
And you know what? Actually, if they'd treated the predator elements maybe a little bit differently, if like worked him in more subtly, it would have gone up as well.
I gave it 100 because I'm giving it 100 because Coco didn't die. So any movie where the dog doesn't die immediately
New
gets
rule.
All that. But 5 points off for just some very slight ropey CGI that I saw on the second viewing, where I was like, "Oh, that's not a real cougar." you know, anyway.
It was a mountain lion.
So 95. That's not bad. Very impressive. Okay, so we'll do a quick clip and then we'll come back. So which clip would you like to see? You have some broad variety of options. How do we want to go here? Do you want the fun one or do you want something that's a bit...
I
want
to see some fighting and shit.
Fighting and shit? Fuck it. Okay, so it's the brother versus the predator and enjoy some cool shit. Of how do you take on a predator as a someone with, you know, sticks and sharp knives and sticks.
Harsh language.
Harsh language.
I have to say that wasn't my favorite fight scene.
Oh, wait, no. what was your favorite fight scene?
My favorite fight scene was the one shot sequence that they did, because I just, like, you know me, I love a long take. And it was a super cool scene that would have taken a lot of choreography between the apparently they actually did switch out the stunt person with Amber Midthunder. And then you've got the Steadicam involved as well, and all of the other people in the scene, and it would have been like a huge undertaking to choreograph all of that, and I thought it was real cool.
So that's the one where she goes back to the actual trappers things after she's escaped. I was watching that today, and I could, and even when I was watching it, I went, that's the stunt actor. I could tell that. Just because the hair got longer and you never saw her face.
And you have those moments where she's briefly off screen and on again, and you're like, oh, that was your moment.
Yeah. But I mean, and it was very clever.
But those are cool. Like, you're still watching that. And I was heavily involved in all of this because I wanted to, I wanted her journey to succeed. So every time it was happening, I was just like, oh my God. Yeah. And that whole thing, like, oh my God, the dog. You know, that created all the dramatic tension for me. And I was just like, no, she can't. No, wait, is she going to die? Because it quite easily, at any point, anyone could have died. That's the whole point of the Predator kind of movies, you know, that someone's going to die. And then when things don't die, you're like, aw.
Nice.
Oh, God. How are you?
And I what I loved is that there are so many things throughout the other Predator films that we know as tropes now. The whole thing that it hunts by seeing your heat. The whole thing that it has the three laser pointers that are how it aims, and that it has this whole arsenal of different weapons that it can draw on at any point in time. And then this film is very smart in taking those things and then using them in different ways.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's always a debate about some of the technology in this. And Peter, for your benefit, that three laser dot motif of that usually means instant death. Like, it's forever been that thing. There's a thing called a plasma caster. So when those three dots line up, it shoots a ball of super hot plasma and just liquefies anything. So basically, if you get hit by that, you're dead. And they changed it slightly this time around because now it's a spear.
Well, and that's interesting because I guess that is actually a concession to it being 300 years earlier. That this predator isn't using a high-tech laser plasma caster thing. He's using a thing that shoots three metal spears.
Yeah, and the other things that I had in it was like the helmet, except this one doesn't have the rebreather in it. You know, it's just a helmet. Still got the glaive or the two knives that come out, but they were older and more tusk looking. It doesn't have a lot of the other kind of tricks and things that Predators sort of have. Like, does everyone remember Alien versus Predator Requiem?
Yes.
Because there was basically if a predator fucks up or something happens and fucks up, they usually put out a distress call. And what's the type of predator that turns up on a distress call? So who's the predator that the other predators call? Because that predator had so many fucking gadgets. It was amazing, including a whip, which was just like, holy shit.
Anyway. I had a weird and interesting conversation with one of the – I think I told you all that I had a discussion with the effects guy on Alien versus Predator Requiem. That I rewatched it after watching this because I was like, fuck, I love me some Predator. Fuck yeah. And I thought, I didn't hate that film as much as everybody else. So I went back and rewatched it. It's not a terrible film, but you just can't fucking see anything.
Oh.
And
I agree with that too, Courtney. It is way too dark. But I watched it again too, and I say it is a terrible film.
It's a dirty, grimy little film that is having a lot of fun at being dirty and grimy.
Yes, and has like weird things like sexualizing the only female in it. Well, the second only female in it. And also there's that weird thing where the pred alien is like force injecting embryos into pregnant ladies.
It's
like,
fucking weird.
That was a terrifying thing. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Alien vs. Predator Requiem. Skip that one, Peter.
Yeah.
Pete, I really do want you to watch original Predator though.
I think original Predator, and then I think Predator 2 is the perfect kind of sequel.
I never watched Predator 2, but I want to. I was watching the trailers for all of the movies that I haven't seen, and that looks like the most fun piece of garbage ever.
Such garbage, but so fun. When you've got, was it...
Danny Glover, Gary Busey, like, taking on gangs in LA that are like just so brazen shooting bazookas on the street at cops, and I'm like, this is the kind of hot trash I want to watch.
And it's got Bill Paxton as Jerry Lambert, and I do love that there's one point where they go past somebody who's doing a news announcement and she's like, and this is of course another killing by the feared Jamaican voodoo posse. And hearing like a Valley Girl say feared Jamaican voodoo posse is one of the best things in the world.
terrible thing.
And Danny Glover at one point does call the Predator one of the most offensively wonderful insults I've ever heard. And I'll let people explore that for themselves.
Oh, well, because we're noted for not being offensive. But that's
no 22 year old spoilers, thanks.
No, I mean, no,
32. Sorry,
shut up.
Oops, ow, 1990 was so long ago.
Oh, it was like it was 10 years ago. 1990 was 10 years ago. Star Wars came out 10 years ago. It's all just 10 years
Everything's
ago.
10 years ago.
Has this movie given anyone pause to either go back and rewatch, you know, Pocahontas or any of the other Predator movies in a different way, giving you a new light?
Never. Pocahontas is offensive.
Yeah, but Pocahontas herself is hot.
Pocahontas herself is great. The romanticization of that story is offensive.
This is problematic.
This is a better coming of age.
I mean, the interesting thing about this is that how many other like super mainstream high budget films that feature a Native American story can you name right now that is not, thank you very much, Pocahontas?
Not enough.
Wasn't there one
that
by,
probably answers your question then.
Wasn't there one by
Last
of the Mohicans?
Wasn't there one by Terrence Malick?
Well, Last of the Mohicans is early 90s.
There's the TV series of the Mount Reservation Dogs. But that's modern Native Americans.
The New World?
Yeah.
That's a close one.
Yeah, but, yeah, yeah. I mean, also, you we're Last struggling of the Mohicans, to think of really good stories
here. Last of the Mohicans didn't have a Native American lead.
Oh, yeah, it had Daniel fucking Day-Lewis.
Yeah. It had Wes Studi in it. He's technically a lead.
So I think that indicates that this is a good film in many ways.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, not just representation, but meaningful representation among the creative team, which is super cool. And it does make me want to seek out other things, but it also makes me sad that there's not other things. There's not a huge range of other things to seek out because of, you know, the gatekeeping of what gets to be mainstream that maybe is being a little broken down now.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I feel like
it'll have something to do with that.
I feel like this film, you know, you're saying it was a film already and then they threw Predator into it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's still the unfortunate effect there where it probably didn't get left alone or didn't get allowed to be made in that sort of way unless it had Predator attached to it. Because it had these things, which is kind of sad because, as I think we all agree, it's a great standalone film.
Yeah. There's talk of a follow-up film, but it's not going to be about the natives. It's going to be about the guy that had the fucking gun.
Oh, for fuck.
Who cares?
He's dead for a start, but also...
Yeah, but I think it's going to be like a prequel.
I hope not because, I mean...
What's the point? He didn't fight predators before.
I want to know how. See, this is the more interesting story now after having established that. If that's the direct connection to Predator 2, where it's an older it's an older predator with like gray dreadlocks and stuff, has that gun as like a family heirloom and leaves it for Danny Glover's character as a reward for killing one of his brethren, like, which is weird.
Yeah.
I would like to know how. You know, she like, he gets that weapon off the Native American tribe, which would be great because now, technically speaking, there's a Native American tribe that the predators are a bit shit scared of because they lost. Well, one of like, that's kind of cool. I don't know whether
did you all notice in the credits? So the credits are done in this hand drawn sort of
animation.
Animation. Yeah, animation. And the very last thing that happens in that before it cuts to the actual scrolling credits are two more Predator ships coming down, which I didn't notice because we were in the cinema talking. But somebody pointed out to me and went, it's in the animation. And I went, oh, right, okay. Mm. So, I mean, there's partially an answer. I mean, that's a depressing as fuck idea that a bunch more predators landed and they just killed the whole village.
Well,
took their gun back and said, "Fuck you."
Yeah. Well.
The predators aren't about revenge.
No,
the predators are about honor. And if only they had done this in a better way by doing the proper Alien versus Predator movie, which would have been so much better. The movies are so terrible. The comics are amazing.
And this is actually one of my favorite weird little factoids about the whole Alien Predator thing. So they made Predator, then they made a bunch of comics of Predator in like from 87 to 1990 or whatever it was. And then the same company had the license to do Alien versus Aliens as well, so Dark Horse Comics.
Yeah.
And so they kind of begged and pleaded with 20th Century Fox and said, could we maybe do Alien versus Predator? And they went, maybe. We're doing another Predator film, so maybe don't do too much. But they'd started telling the comic book of Alien versus Predator. So then in Predator 2, they put an alien skull as a reference to the comic. Mm-hmm. So the comic in that one actually came first.
Okay.
And I'm like, that's cool. So useless fucking information. Sorry, everybody. You got that fucking Predator scream there somewhere? There we go.
Thanks for that, Quinny.
Anytime.
All right. Go see Prey. Fuck it. I hope everyone loved Prey. That's all I've got to say. Get Prey in your eyeballs. It was fucking great. I love it. I'm going to go watch it again.
Yes. Yeah, I rewatched it today, and I'm like, fuck, this is such a fun film. and has some really great moments. What are we watching next?
Paper Girls on Amazon, another comic turned series.
Ooh.
I've already finished it, so have I don't need to do any homework this week.
Yay. I need to do that, but I've got some time to do that. I might do that. I'm going to watch some TV.
Yay. I've got the last 4 episodes of the season, I think, to go. So
excellent.
Yes. I have been doing the homework, which is nice.
Good.
And anything else coming up this weekend?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I am flying to Rockhampton.
Yay!
Just to do a little show up there called Capricorn.
Yay. Yeah. Who's going to be at it, Jill?
I'll be talking to Dan Ewing, Stephen Hunter, nice. Jackson Robert Scott, who plays Bodie on Lock and Key.
Nice.
Some awesome Aussie cosplayers. Our mate Dan Rankin.
Hey.
Yeah, heaps of people.
That sounds like a fucking good time.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm excited because the kid who's in Lock and Key, what else has he done?
He was in It.
That's right.
Yeah.
What is It?
It's It.
What is It?
Don't. You want it all, but you can't have it.
Two red boxing gloves.
Peter's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. That's just more research for Peter. She's like, oh, wait.
Not a big face, no more face.
But I don't know what else is happening here.
You have faith no more in us, Peter.
I don't know. It's a pretty epic song anyway.
Perfect. Perfectly. Yes. Peter the band, Faith No More, wrote a song called Epic, which we were just referencing heavily.
Does it need explaining? I don't know it needs explaining. I don't know that I need to.
Pete cares so little that she does not want it explained.
Oh dear. Thank you all for joining us and talking about Prey, and we hope you all enjoyed it too. Now we're going to go out with the MC Hammer song, Pray.
Spelled
P-R-A-Y.
We'll also go and raid Hex. So thank you. We'll see you back here again. One thing that I've got to say before we do run away. Oh. Thursday, we are going to the opening of the Sydney Sci-Fi Film Festival. Which is very exciting. I'm very keen to go and check that out. I've got to find the name of the film that we're going to watch, but I'm looking it up as we talk. But also, they are having an award for our friend Nicholas Scott, who is winning an award for generally being amazing. I think that's essentially it anyway. So
sounds about right.
Yes. So Simon, who is one of the people who runs the Sydney Sci-Fi Film Festival, has sent us an invite, and as have the people from Lunarcraft. So we will be going and doing that. And if the cool thing about the film festival is this year, it is not just in Sydney, it is going to be touring. So if you look it up, you are going to be able to see a bunch of the films that are at that film festival around the country. And the first film on the opening night is Polaris.
And if you see us, come say hi.
Yes. If you happen to be
in Rockhampton, come say hi.
Yes.
Come say hi. This is all great. Chastangela, I refuse to even acknowledge that there is some dragon themed television show that perhaps came out. I did. That was like, oh, what are you doing? So, well, yeah, I did watch that. And it is very definitely a continuation of a franchise that people have a lot of money invested into.
I will say it's definitely the weirdest new series of The Crown I've ever seen.
But funnily enough, way more entertaining. More believable. I was like, oh, yeah, they definitely do that.
And now we also know Doctor Who fucks.
He does.
Okay, sorry.
You just made me decide to never watch House of Dragon.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Not want to see that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, look, they do a few things. I just realized, I was thinking back, going, oh, yeah, that happened. But I was kind of watching this going, oh, yeah, it's just more Game of Thrones themed things. It feels like a fanfic of Game of Thrones at the moment, because it just feels like they've just written about a side character, or they've just changed all the names of the regular characters. And I was just like, oh, okay.
I used the description of it as I was talking to somebody else about it. I said, it's like a bunch of rich and famous people decided they wanted to cosplay a Game of Thrones. Get a whole bunch of really talented actors and stuff like that and put them into cosplay. Yes. Now go, do the Game of Thrones
thing. Maybe that's the thing. No, maybe Game of Thrones is now the panto season for actors in Europe, which is just like, oh yeah, it's Game of Thrones time again. All right, everyone, here, chuck this stuff on.
Yep. I will also say Reese Iffins sounds bizarrely like Charles Dance. Like it's weird how much he sounds like him. He's doing an impression. It's anyway.
All right, thanks everyone. Thanks for listening to us, and we'll get out and have a lovely week. See you all next time.
Yes.
See you guys.
Bye. New feathers and buy some new clothes. Just get rid of the antlers and lighten your.
Posture and suck in your gut. You need to pull back your shoulders and tighten your.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.